Well, I don't know many of them. In fact, I could say I hardly know anybody here tonight, and very few people know me. Well, my name is as the Reverend Rich Higginson said, is Andy McClellan. And I thank the Reverend Higginson tonight for allowing me to testify, because I'm not a member of his church. And I also thank the members of the church for allowing him to ask me to testify here tonight. I don't know, but I really am glad tonight that I have a testimony to give. I didn't always have a testimony, and I can assure you I didn't have a testimony. But before I give my testimony, I'd like to read you a portion of Scripture, and you'll find that in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, starting from verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far land, a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found." Now, if I never say another word to you tonight, that's my testimony. In all my filth, the Lord Jesus Christ put his arms around me, and then he kissed me, and then he cleansed me, and then he put his righteousness on me. He clothed me with righteousness. He put new garments. As the psalmist says, he put a new song in my mouth. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. To let you know about my life, I was born in Scotland, in a place called Hamilton, and a little place called Whitehill. Now, for the first 5, 6, 7 years of my life, I couldn't tell you much about it. But I know I was sent to Sunday school. Now, my parents were religious, but not as what you would say Christian. My mother was brought up with her mother was a Salvationist, and my mother was brought up within the Salvation Army. But when she married my father, not a drinker, but not a Christian. Very strict, but still not a Christian. And I lived up there, and then I realized about the age of 10, that's when I knew when I was doing wrong. That was when I first started to smoke cigarettes. And that's when I first started, what you would say, steal. Because I had a sister who smoked. And I don't know if she counted her cigarettes or not. But that was my supply. And then, sometimes, when that supply wasn't about, to my shame, if my mother's purse was there and there was small change in it, well, you could buy a single cigarette out the shop. And that's what I did. And the Lord's hand was upon me. And then, when between the ages of 10 and 11, that was the first time I got into real trouble, because we were coming home from school, and beside the school was the Burnbank School of Engineering, and we had to go past that every day. So one day we decided we would throw stones, but somebody's stone went over the fence and the window was broken. Well, the next day the police were at school, and the two oldest in the class were taken out. That was myself and a wee fella called Dougalane. And we were picked out, and then the police were told, we were told that the police would be coming to the house. And so that's what happened. They came to the house, but I wasn't in the house, I had run away. Didn't stay away too long, it was only a couple of hours, but I had run away anyway. But I came back, you always come back when you're hungry. But anyway, my mother came to the court, juvenile court with me, and she, because of my age, was fined 4 shillings or 2 weeks in jail. And I was put on a year's probation. So you could say before the age of 12 I had a criminal record. But that was the last time, because my father took me shopping on a Saturday. And believe it or not, where had we to pass? The broken window. And so I used to cringe, because I knew it was coming. I knew the back of the hand would get me in the ear. And so I had to learn to cringe. But my father now, he lost an eye, so the smoking part was easiest to me. Because I don't know, maybe like me, he didn't always have a great sense of smell. But I could walk on his blind side and have a cigarette, and he wouldn't have known. But anyway, I went on and in life, and no, I never stuck in at school. I wasn't like speaker, the testifier last night. The only degree I got was an O. I got an O level. I never passed an exam in my life, to be quite honest, because I never stuck in at school. And at Sunday school and Bible class, I can never stand up here and tell you that I never heard you needed to be saved, because I was there in body, but I wasn't there in spirit. I never wanted to be at Sunday school or at Bible class. People thought I was great listening, but my mind was away outside wondering what my friends were doing. That's all I wanted to be, with my friends, and so I never paid attention to what they told me in Sunday school or Bible class. But I realize now, even all those years back, there were people praying for me. Now, I went on to church until I was about 16. And after that, I fell away from church. In fact, when I was 16, I became a communicant member, as they say, of the Church of Scotland in Whitehill. That's where I was brought up. But I only took communion once. But then I didn't realize that it wasn't right to take communion if you weren't saved. Anyway, life went on for me. I left school, and I started when I was 15. When I was 10, I started smoking. When I was 15, I started drinking. And I wasn't much smaller than I was now. I was maybe 5'7", and I could pass in a public house. So that I was all right. I went and I frequented public houses, and that's where most of my pocket money was spent, public houses. Anyway, I went on and I worked on a few jobs. My first job was an apprentice moulder, and wages weren't very good. In fact, if you were on the dole, as they called it, you would have earned more, got more dole money than I was getting for being an apprentice moulder. So I decided that I would leave there and go to the steelworks. And so I went to the steelworks. And, you know, when thinking back on all these things, you know, it's amazing how the Lord's hand is upon you. When I was at Sunday school, I went a trip. I came off the bus when I was about 9 years old. That's one thing I do remember. And walked in front of the bus and was hit with a motorbike. And it was only my left leg that was broken. When I was in the steelworks, I worked in a 12-inch rolling mill. Now, to describe a rolling mill, if you know what a mangle is, something your mum put the washing in, when maybe young people won't remember that, and the washing on one side and came out the other side. Well, I worked in a 12-inch rolling mill, and I was a catcher. In other words, I caught the bars coming out the rolls, and they were red hot. And that bar was approximately 40 feet long. And when after I'd let go of that bar, somebody else would pull that bar away to the, where it was sawn up and then taken to be straightened. But there was rolls on the floor. And the Lord's hand was in me in the steelworks, because I walked backwards one day and I fell over. Now, if the Lord hadn't taken me right over and back onto my feet, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Because that bar would have went right through me. It was red hot. And you couldn't stop them rolls in a few seconds. And so by the grace of God, I'm standing here tonight. I could have been so very well in a lost eternity tonight. But in all these things, I never ever thought, even going to church, going to Sunday school, I never ever thought of hell or of heaven. I always believed deep down that there was a God. Yes, I believed there was a God. But I'd never believed that about the Lord Jesus Christ, and never thought on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never thought that someday I would have to give an account to that God. Never thought I would stand face to face. Anyway, life went on for me, and I left the steelworks when I was approximately 18, and I went to work as an orderly in Hare Myers Hospital in East Kilbride. And that work was much easier because I could walk without blisters on my feet, and I didn't have to worry about running for the bus. And there, too, I worked, and there is where I met my wife. And there, too, I didn't do right as a young man. I never said to my father-in-law or to my mother-in-law, "Would you mind if I went out with your daughter?" Now, Eileen and I first met and went out on the 4th of December, 1965. And we married on the 9th of February, 1966. That was approximately 99.5 weeks. And the 9th of February this year, we celebrated our golden wedding anniversary. But however, we still weren't saved. And when we came over here to live in 1966, because Eileen was brought up here, in fact, my wife was brought up on this Strand Road there in Port Stewart. Her grandfather was a canon in the church across the road there, Canon Dixon, and he brought her up. And so when we came over here, Eileen was Church of Ireland, I was Presbyterian or Church of Scotland. So we couldn't agree what church we would go to. Even in Belfast, we couldn't agree to go to a church, because I didn't like Church of Ireland and she didn't like Presbyterian. So we were decided the best thing was not to go to church. So we didn't go to church. But after we were married, we lived in Belfast for about 2 years, but our eldest son, he lives in Scotland now, he, our first child, he was born in February 1967. He was born on the 11th of February 1967. But there he had problems. He, when we fed him, his food only went down so far, and it shot right back out of his mouth and would have shot across the road. And he was in a few hospitals, but the last hospital he was in was the city hospital in Belfast. And he almost died there. In fact, he had to get we got him, you know, didn't know whether it wouldn't made a difference, but we got him an emergency baptism. And yes, it was the man from the Church of Ireland on the Lisburn Road. He was the man, he must have been the chaplain. So he baptised our eldest son. But to see him now, you wouldn't think that he was had almost died. Anyway, our life continued, and 2 years later, we moved from Belfast to Lisburn. And we started attending different churches. And believe it or not, we started to attend even the Free Presbyterian Church. And I remember, although Eileen doesn't remember, saying to Eileen, if you go to one of those churches, I said, you really have to believe. Now, I'm not sure what I was talking about, but that's what I said. I said, if you go to one of those churches, you really have to believe. Then we just continued, and we lived, Eileen and I lived for the weekend. We lived to go out on a Saturday night and at weeknights sometimes. And so we got a babysitters, and we went out, and that's what we did. We just lived for ourselves. I lived for myself. I was a self-pleaser. I liked to enjoy myself. But seeking God for salvation was far from my mind. And we continued to live life as I had. I was, as you say, I should have said at the beginning, I was a cheat, a liar, and just eventually a drunkard. And I was a drunkard. Now, I'm not here to glorify Satan, but when you can go out on a Saturday night and say to your wife on a Sunday morning and tell her who you were talking to and what you were talking about, and she says to you, Andy, that was last week, where did that weekend go? And that's how at times, how bad I was. My wife showed me two bottles one day, one Sunday morning, and then she emptied them out in front of me, and I got cross. But she said, you never drank them last night. Because I used to, when I was in the pub, I would have friends here, and I would have friends in another place, in the same bar. And I would go swat between the two of them. And then at the end of the night, I would come and just drink what was ever there on that table. And so, yes, to my shame, there's Saturday night, so I don't remember either what way I went home or how I got home. But however, the Lord's hand was upon me. And then in 1972, I joined the Northern Ireland Prison Service. And as you say, the more you get, the more you spend. And that's all. I never planned for the future. I just got my money and had friends. And I got more further and deeper into the world. And then, about in 1983, we moved from one end of Lisburn to the other. We moved from Hill Hall to Benson Street because of my wife, because she was more sensible than me. She'd been putting money past, and so she got us a deposit for a house. And we moved into that house, and shortly after we moved into that house in 1982, we started talking about a minister, a place to go. And we really started discussing it in the beginning of 1983. And the only reason we were discussing it was, if anything had happened to me, to Eileen, or to anyone in the family, we didn't have a minister. We had nobody to bury us. And that's all I was looking for. Someone to bury me if anything happened. But you know, I've realised since, it's not the send-off that you should look forward to. It's the reception. You know, the send-off, it doesn't matter if you don't get a send-off. Should there only be two or three at your funeral? It's the reception. And that's what I'm looking forward to. The reception, sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Anyway, we continued, and I continued my life going out and We both did. But while we were discussing that, well, it's amazing how God works, because he sent a man to our door. He sent Mr. Basil Aiken. And he was in the Independent Methodist Church round the corner from us in Causeway End Road. And he knocked our door. And I sent Eileen to the door because I didn't want to go and take his tract. But Eileen took it. And Eileen started going to church. And then we started sending the children to Sunday school and to Lifeliners. And believe it or not, I even let them go to the Baptist church to a wee children's meeting there. But then I came home one Sunday night in September 1983, and I got a shock, because my wife said to me, "Andy, I've something to tell you." And I said, "Yes." She said, "Andy, I got saved tonight." And my words to my wife were, "Well, that's not for me." I said, "I don't believe in that." I says, "But if I can," I says, "I will try and help you." And that's what I did when I was sober. I tried to help my wife. I even made it look good by going to church on a Sunday, just so as the children would say, "Well, Daddy's coming to church," and others would see me. But when I was drunk, and that was quite a lot, and I wasn't sober, then I would have pulled my wife up on her salvation, and I would have didn't treat her too well, to my shame. But anyway, God started working in my life too, and I don't know how many people in this province have prayed for me. I believe quite a lot. But anyway, I still was going out. I remember somebody saying to me, "Are you going the same way as Eileen?" And I said, "Oh no, that's not for me." But you know, I was fighting against this salvation. But praise the Lord, I lost the battle. I was fighting a war of my own, because I came home one night, and when my children said, "Daddy, I get saved tonight," and I could hear this thought, voice or whatever it is, "There's another one away, there's another one away, stop it, stop it." And believe it or not, that's what I tried to do. I tried to stop all this, going to Sunday school, going to children's meetings. So I said to Eileen, "Take your pick." I said, "They can go to church, Sunday school, Lifeliners." But I says, "Forget about these Baptist meetings and forget about everything else." But when it came the night of those meetings, and my children says, "Can we go?" I let them go. I was fighting a losing battle. Anyway, my life went on, and I was in the Masons at the time, and I took a turn in the behind the bar every week, every so often, in the Masonic Club in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. And I was behind that bar one night. It was sometime early October, and I can honestly say I didn't go there that night to come home sober. But that night I lifted my drink. It was halfway. I had already drunk the half of it, and I lifted that drink to finish it. It was half a pint of beer, and I don't know what shots were lying behind me, but I lifted that drink to finish it and get another one. And the voice, and I mean the voice, said to me, "What are you drinking that for?" And for the first time in my life, I had no answer. You see, I was such a liar, I could pin a lie off like that. But the voice said, "What are you drinking that for?" And I looked at it. And I don't know if anybody was looking at me. But I poured that drink out. And from that night to this, I've never had another drink or the desire for a drink. because the Lord took that passion away from me. But I wasn't saved. And I still wasn't saved. And Basil Aiken, he had started coming down to the house to visit Eileen. And then Eileen, she would go and make a cup of tea for this Pastor Aiken. And at first it seemed short time to me. And he would say to me, "You know, Andy, you need to be saved. Have you ever thought about it?" And I, believe it or not, said to him, "Well, you know me," I says, "changing a bit and I'm cutting the drink down a bit." You know, and I would say anything, you know, that would close his mouth, that would take him away from this word salvation. By about the third time he came down to my house, if an unbeliever could pray, I did. He was sitting there from here to as far as Eileen is from me now, and he was saying, "Do you still not think about getting saved?" And I just said unto myself, "Lord, open the floor up and take him away." That's what I said. I didn't want to speak to him, but yet I couldn't get up and put him out. I would have been in Bybrooks anyway. But anyway, that's what I was saying. Anyway, life went on and I still went to work. And no, I didn't frequent the club any longer. By this time I was in the Young Offenders Centre. I'd been in the maze for 10 years and I was in the Young Offenders Centre. And I didn't frequent the club since that night that the Lord took the notion to drink away from me. And Eileen was night shift this week. She worked in Forest Lodge. It's a wee place in Lisburn. She looked after handicapped children. And that night, on the 24th of October, 1983, I was lying in my bed. And that, believe it or not, was my night. I believe if I hadn't got saved that night, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. The Lord was touching my heart, and I knew I had to get out of bed. Now, I can't tell you what I said. I got out of my bed, and I knelt beside my bed, and I haven't a clue the words I said. But I knew when I got off that floor that night that my life had completely changed. Now, my life had completely changed, because not only was I a drunkard, a cheat and a liar, but I was a very superstitious person. And I mean a very superstitious person. And no, I don't mean just as a wee one-off thing. I was superstitious. I was in bondage. When I hear a believer saying, "Touch wood," that really makes me shiver. You know, because if I had that much faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a piece of wood, then they wouldn't need to touch the wood. But I was very superstitious. I was afraid to go out on certain days. I was afraid if I saw a certain bird, I had to make sure there was more than one, or I would almost turn back from work. And when you're looking for things like that, you know, Satan will give you what you're looking for. Because many a time, my car broke down. Many a time, things happened to me that were unnatural. And I could go take you to a wee place in the garden where I lived in Lisburn, where I buried broken pieces of mirror, thinking that's take away my bad luck. You know, that's how superstitious I was. But the Lord has taken all that away from me. And I have gone on with the Lord. We moved to Scotland in 1998. And we lived up the northeast of Scotland. And the Lord took us up there. I could give you the verses that the Lord took me up there. But we lived there, and our children now, two of our sons live up there. And they're settled there. And one of our sons, he lives in Chesterley Street in County Durham. But for 10 years we were there until Eileen was homesick. And there, now, as I've said, I was independent Methodist. But where do you go? Because up there's no independent Methodists. In fact, up in the northeast of Scotland, in some places there's very little. So I went to what the brethren would call a local assembly. And I went there, and they interviewed me. And then they accepted me into fellowship with them. And so I fellowshipped in the gospel hall for 10 years. And I learned from them. Now, some people don't agree with what they do, but I could go to a gospel hall tomorrow, and if they said to me, "You'll be observing," then I know that's what they expect when I go there. And so I would observe without feeling, "Who are you?" Didn't always agree with it, because it meant, now, the assembly I attended in Forest, don't think I could have taken friends there, but I attended another reassembly in Nairn, in the Highland village, and there was only 5 people there. When I went, there was 6, so I could have taken friends there, and they would have broke bread with them, because they knew that I wouldn't bring anybody that I thought shouldn't be breaking bread. So I was in the assembly for 10 years, and then we came back here in 2008, and we went back to the Independent Methodist Church here in Coleraine. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm no longer a member there. But however, that's a long story. But we're here. But other things have happened to me, and it's amazing how the Lord has helped Eileen and I. 6 years ago, our daughter left her partner. Now, I'm not going to go into a deep thing with it, but she came to us with her 2 daughters and her 2 sons. And then went back to the person she'd left, but sent her 2 daughters to me. And then, because I went to court to get some parental permission, we had a big long fight for a year in court to see where our 2 granddaughters would be. And the Lord was with me. And it's amazing, the verses that the Lord gave me told me that they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. And a friend of mine from Ballymena, he phoned me up because they'd, boy, made some great accusations against me. And he gave me a verse in the Psalms, and it says, "They thought an evil device against you, which they are not able to perform." And that's very true, they weren't able to perform. Now, I'm not going to tell you how their lies came out in court, but their lies came out. And for 6 years, we have 2 granddaughters living with us. And they are lovely young girls. They went to church for a while, but no, they're not going to church at the minute. But I believe the Lord will bring them back to himself. They made professions of faith, as did all our children, made professions of faith, but different things. Girlfriends, or different things, took them away from that. But I have one promise from the Lord, and that's all I can cling to, because he said to me long time ago, when I make up my jewels, that they shall be crowned jewels in his crown, in his kingdom. And so that's what I look forward to. Now, because of the lifestyle I lived, and I mean the lifestyle I lived for myself, drunkard, cheat and a liar, people would say, "I need to be saved." You know, but there are people I know who walked the clean side of the broad road, and they too needed to be saved, because the Bible, the Word of God, quite plainly says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't only die for the sins that I committed, he died for the sin that I was born with. I never realized that I was born with a sinful nature. And that's what needs to be put under the blood. Not just your sins, your sinful nature. And mine, yes, I'll make mistakes, and I'll do some things that are not right. But I know that my sin is covered in the blood. And I'll finish off my testimony with this new verse here. Let's say, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And that's why I can stand up here tonight and testify to a glorious Saviour, because he loved me and he gave himself for me.